I'm just excited to get into the Word tonight. Now, last week, praise God, we were encouraged how the name saints and the word holy are the same exact word. Whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the New Testament, whether it's in the Greek, whether it's in the Hebrew, those two words are exactly the same. They're interchangeable, if you will. And we saw that there is such a high calling emphasis, if you will, when Brother Paul would call certain believers saints. And, you know, thinking about the Word of God and how powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it gets right down to the quick of the matter. I mean, it's not sizing you up, it's encouraging you. It lets you know. You know, the word lets you know. It doesn't leave any doubt. And you think about how Brother Paul, even in the 8th chapter of Romans, what a magnificent chapter. You know, in that 8th chapter, he calls some children. In that 8th chapter, he also calls some the mature sons. There's two different words for that in the Greek as well. The word for child is technon, T-E-K-O-N, N-O-N. Thank you, brother. I'm not a good speller. But T-E-K-N-O-N, technon. And you'll find that that speaks of truly a child and even an infant. And then you have another word, huios. So you'll see the word son, maybe S-O-N in the truth, but it could mean one of two things. It could mean an infant, or it could mean a mature son of God. And right there in the 8th chapter of Romans, it's so very sweet because you're introduced very quickly. Paul says, oh my, you know, there's children of God, and they're heirs of God. And it's so sweet to know that children are heirs. But that's that word technon, which means an infant. And when a child is born to a family, that child is immediately an heir. They're going to come into heirship of something in that family. They're of that family. But then, in that same portion of Scripture, Paul speaks to the, if you will, the saints, the huios, the mature sons, sons that will reign jointly and rule jointly together, the ones that will be glorified together with him. And we see in verse 14 of the 8th chapter, it says that these sons are led by the Spirit. Would you think that a mature son is led by the Spirit? Isn't that wonderful? See, if you're not spiritual, I can't imagine that you'd be very mature, would you? If you weren't, again, full of the Holy Ghost, how could you be mature? Amen? You think about that. I was thinking about even Stephen. Remember, even Stephen, isn't that good? like that. But even Stephen, he was a young guy. And they were out there trying to figure out, you know, who's kind of going to be, in a sense, the leader, lead us a little bit in these things of the Lord and all. And they had some elder ones and all. But they chose Stephen. And you know why they chose Stephen? Because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't about his physical age. It was about the age, praise God, of the maturity, the love, that growth, that one that would be led by the Spirit. And so beautiful, just gives me chills to think, you know, God's not a respecter of person. And, you know, you have a heart for him, he'll meet it exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. And then in that same 8th chapter, we find that those mature sons, and again, Paul, through the Word of God, he speaks to children in the Word of God, and he speaks to the mature in the Word of God. And there's a difference. And that's where we're going with this encouragement of Paul as he addresses the saints in that same way of maturity. But those ones that are the mature sons, in verse 19 of the 8th chapter, it says, those will be the ones that will be made manifest. Those will be the ones that come forth. Confident that those will be as those of Revelation chapter 3. And I will make known to all that I have loved thee. That's a huge thing. And we know in that regard of making known that I love you. And we know the Word of God speaks of first love. We know that God has given us a type and shadow in that. And that's called a wedding. That's the time and the moment that a man will bring forth his glory and make known to all that he loves her. Oh, there'll be guests. They'll be joyful. They'll be assembled. But they'll all be for one purpose. For that husband to show forth his glory, his bride. So, these were the saints, if you will. And as we read and rejoiced, these were the saints of the high calling. The saints that were at Philippi. The saints that were at Ephesus. The saints that were at Colossae. The introduction to those letters we saw was very unique and very different. They were different than the letters that were sent to Galatia. They were different than the letters that went to Corinth, Thessalonica. They were different. And there was no doubt who the saints were. Paul said that they were faithful. And I love that. Not that they were faithful, but they were full of faith in the faithful one. And I'm grateful to God. That's not to act lowly. That's just to thank God for his mercy and grace. And knowing that he is faithful and true. Knowing that the Word of God tells us that the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I don't live by the faith of Jesse. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I thank God that I am completely confident in that life that lives in me. It's the new man, praise God. And I thank the Lord that it's in that life, hallelujah, that that faith can grow and grow at an increasing rate all the time. But we see here that these were the ones that were fully purposed. They were the ones that were the runners. And if you go back and say fully purposed, well, that's the church of Ephesus. The runners or the horses, that was the church of the Philippians. And then finally, the church of Colossae, immense in love and grace. Praise God. So fully purposed runners, immense in love and grace. I think that's a fine company of saints, if you ask me. Praise be to God. Well, obviously the Holy Ghost through Paul thought so too. So we know, brothers and sisters, and I will make this statement. Do you know all God's children are holy? Do you know then all God's children are saints? So I don't want you to be confused. But when Paul uses the name saints, I'm going to tell you something. It's not just holy. Oh, no. But truly, if you will, and this is where we're going tonight, the holy of holies. You ever maybe heard this? Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Them daughters are holy. But oh my. That must be the holy of holies. And remember what the word holy means. Set apart. Exclusively for. Amen. This is the ones we're talking about. So we're thankful to God that, you know, the standing is secure. But the state of the saints is bridal first trumpet ready. Amen. Isn't that what we gather for? Are we gathering just to get to heaven? Wouldn't that be sad? That'd be just so pitiful. We're gathering, we're just going to get to heaven. Really? What a disgrace as a Christian. We're gathering for one purpose. To be ready. For that first trump. We know we're already seated together in the heavens in Christ. But there's something about that company that he is going to come for and capture away. A whirlwind, praise God. A meeting in the air. And that is why, by the grace of God, we come and we hear this message. Now, we're going to go on a journey here to see this word holy, in a sense, in that precious encouragement of the saints. in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. New heights and wonders, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to all of us. And speaking of holy, we're going to spend tonight and maybe a couple more nights in the Holy of Holies. And this in type is who the saints that Paul's gospel is received by. They are the saints of the saints, if you will. We're talking about the Holy of Holies, the saints of the saints. They are the most set apart company. They are exclusively his. And this was the Holy of Holies. It was the exclusive place with the priest. Turn on over to 2 Chronicles, and that's where we're going to kind of end up tonight. Now, as you turn over to 2 Chronicles, the priest representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know in the Word of God, went into that Holy of Holies once a year. They went in there once a year to offer the sin of the people, and it was such a precious time. But it was exclusively for the high priest. And a wonderful place, praise God. This is the place that the priest would go and pray and once again offer the sacrifice for sin once a year. And if you think about this, and as we'll go into it, this is exactly the heart of the saints, the full overcomer, the bridal company that Paul is calling out and speaking to in the gospel. They are the worshipful place. Are you a worshipful place? Are you a vessel of worship? Huh? Praise God. Amen. The true worshipers, as we know in the Word of God, worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Amen. And praise God, this worshipful place, if you will, is always full and abounding in the Spirit. Again, going back to Romans 8, those are the ones that are led by the Spirit. There's an abounding, isn't there? We have abounding hope. And it's not of us. We know it's only of the word of his grace. It builds us up, gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And remember, the word sanctified is pretty much 99% same word as holy and saints. Once again, set apart, exclusively his. A vessel only for the master's use. It's beautiful what he's after. And it's very clear, isn't it? He wants you. He wants you for his own. He wants to captivate you. And this isn't just for a moment. He's talking about eternity. You see. And yet here we are in these earthen vessels, if you will. And that's the last thing we want to be thinking of is eternity. We think about here and now, this moment. How can I be gratified immediately? How can I get whatever I need right now? And God's a God of patience. And patience has to have a perfect work. And God is a God that is pleased one way, and that's by faith. And faith is something we cannot see with the natural eye. Matter of fact, you'll never see it that way. It'll always be something that the natural eye will see as impossible, something that could never be attained. That matter of fact, emotion, natural emotion, will be discouraged. It can't happen. But that's when God overrules. And that's when his word comes forth. And it's all powerful, isn't it? Because we all live it every day. And thanks be to God, he reminds us of it moment by moment all the time. Never forget the mighty hand of God. Never forget his deliverance. Never forget how he's brought you out and drawn you to him. Never forget by the grace of God. Yeah, my life didn't have to be, but it had to be that way. It had to be. Every jot and tittle, I'm telling you. Just as much so, because I know I'm a son of God. I know that just even in that wonderful encouragement of the resurrection story and the crucifixion and all of those things that had to be exactly that way. I know that my life had to be exactly that way. Grace in the Word of God. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. And that doesn't mean a scientific experiment. That's for grace and mercy. You understand that? See, you become lovers of that grace and mercy. You become overwhelmed, truly obsessed in praise and thanksgiving. That God could love a wretch like me and not just love me, but take me on and wait and be patient. And he foresaw my life in Christ. And he knew these events. And he knows my hurt, and he knows my pain, and he knows my frustration. And he knows my weakness. And he knows my downsetting, and he knows my uprising. He knows my thought afar off. And he absolutely loves me still. Oh my. Now, going back. By the grace of God, this is a worshipful place. I worship him. I draw nigh to my God in fervent love to kiss him. It's all I want to do. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And oh, how he has equipped me. And equipped me to realize to be confident in him. And confident in him because everything is out of my control. Everything. But I know he orders it all around me. As that fool said, oh, don't you know that I have could call this and do that and do this and do that. He said, my Father in heaven, that's your Father. That's your Father. God help our unbelief. Now, this is a place of intimacy. Once again, that's what the Holy of Holies was. It was the place of intimacy. It was the place of worship. It was the place that was set apart. It was the place only the high priest could enter in. And there was one thing he always found there, the cherubim. Now, we've rejoiced many times in these Holy of Holies. As a matter of fact, I think we rejoice all the time in the Holy of Holies. Because that's what that veil was written twain for us. Praise God. But in that place of the Holy of Holies, that was the place where the ark was brought in. And that ark, that golden box, if you will, it contained the golden jar of manna. That Aaron's budded reed in the tables, the tablets of stone, okay? And then on the top of that box was a glorious mercy seat. It was the lid. One piece of beaten gold, and out of that wonderful lid came forth those two cherubim. Two of them there. And they were on that lid that was on top of that box called the ark. And that was brought into the place that was prepared, called the Holy of Holies. Now, here in 2 Chronicles, and we'll go over to chapter 3, and in verse 8, this is the time when the Holy of Holies is being constructed by Solomon in Solomon's temple. And here is the instruction of God in how that place, the Holy of Holies, is going to be constructed. All right? So 2 Chronicles 3, verse 8. And this is Solomon. And he made the most holy house. That's the Holy of Holies. The length thereof was according of the breadth of the house, 20 cubits. And the breadth thereof, 20 cubits. And he overlaid it with gold, anointing to 600 talents. Amounting, excuse me. Got tears in my eyes. It's hard to read the word. He's going to have to speak it to me. And the weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold. Man. And he overlaid the upper chambers with gold. Now here we go. And in the most holy house, he made two cherubims of image work. and overlaid them with gold. And the wings of the cherubim were 20 cubits long. One wing of the one cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house. And the other wing was likewise 5 cubits, reaching to the wing of the other cherub. And one wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house. And the other wing was 5 cubits also, joining to the wing of the other cherub. And the wings of these cherubs spread themselves forth 20 cubits. And they stood on their feet, and their faces were inward. Now, this was the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. And before they ever even brought in the Ark of the Covenant that had the two cherubim that were on the lid of it, they had to build the Holy of Holies. And after they had kind of built the, if you will, the structure of it, the very first thing that was built in there, can you imagine that? Were two cherubim. And they were big, as you see. What did it say there? 10 cubits high. And their wings were stretched out, the 20 cubits crossed that way. So you had one here, and the other one's wing was here, and they're both touching wings, you know. And then this wing went right to the wall, and that wing went right to the wall. And what was set right under them? It would be the ark. They brought that ark in there. See, a lot of people don't even understand when you got back into that Holy of Holies. You know how many cherubim were in there? There were 4. Wonder why. And I'll tell you what, we're just looking at a glass darkly, but I'm sure grinning at that glass. I'll tell you that. And he's showing us some stuff. But here what we have is in this most holy place of the temple, we have these two cherubims of gold. And once again, you see the testimony of them. And I'll kind of back up a little bit. We understand as we study the Word of God that we see these cherubim, whether it was in Ezekiel, whether it was in Isaiah, whether we see them in Revelation chapter 4. We see and we are revealed that they're a company. And they're a company of saints. If you read there in Revelation chapter 4, there's no doubt. It says, these are redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Some people try to tell me they're angels. Well, an angel can't be redeemed. And then some people say, well, they're the Lord. No, he's the Redeemer. And I'm telling you, that's the overwhelming majority of Christianity. I'm not talking about sinful man. I'm talking about our family. They don't get it because they don't want to read the Word of God and study it and be full of the Holy Ghost and have these things revealed by the Spirit. Amen. But you'll see those four living ones are the cherubim that we've seen throughout the Word of God. You'll see them in Revelation 4. And we see them in a very unique place that no other company that's seen throughout Revelation occupies. And that's the midst of the throne. The midst of the throne. The very middle of that throne. They share that throne. Matter of fact, they would be the ones that are made manifest, as we said, those saints of Romans 8. They're not the children, oh no, and joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, if so be that you suffer together with him, that you might be glorified together with him. Amen? See, that's the glory of a wedding. I just did one the other day. That fella didn't just get up there and say, well, I'm taking all the glory. Now, here comes my wife. Give her a palm. I want her to wave it and fan me because I want her to serve me. He'd be standing there all by himself till eternity came. Because that dude ain't getting married. I'll tell you that right there. That's not why we get married. We love. Matter of fact, you want to bestow gifts of due benevolence on one another. You want to do for them more than they even do for you. But it's reciprocated and it just goes. And that's how it is. Amen. So that's who these four living ones, this is this cherubim we're speaking of here. And we have this in type and shadow all throughout the Word of God. You don't need to wrestle with it, think about it. You just need to believe. Study it out. It's there. It's clear. And it'll encourage you like nothing else. Because you begin to see how much he loves you. It's like getting another letter in the mailbox. Gives you another letter and another letter. And this is how I love you. Let me count the ways. And it keeps a going and a going and a going. And it never ceases. Joshua said, oh, there's more land to walk through. Don't be a know-it-all. You won't get very far. So let's think about these cherubim that we've just read about, these two. Notice they stand. Isn't that beautiful? They stand. And they stand. You know what? They don't move. I'm telling you, those two fellas, and I have to say sister, I know my sister over there. It's the brethren mankind. But they stand and they don't move. Did you know that that's what it was talking about? Those in Revelation 3, that's the Philadelphia church. They're made a pillar in the house of the Lord. And they don't become that pillar. You know what? They're pillars right now. Because they stand now. And they don't move. They shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. Not even greatly, praise God. But this is how it is. And so they stand. They're the pillars like Philadelphia. Because they're confident in the truth. And here's the beautiful thing about it. They stand 10 feet tall. Well, I'll tell you what. Number 10 in the Word of God means responsibility according to ability. So you know what? They're fully purposed. Those little kings grew up to be big kings. They grew up to be the full capacity of what the Lord intended them to be. And that's every child of God. We talk about some different numbers in the Word of God, but this is a time you want to be a 10. The other day it was a 7. 8's good too. 10 tonight is great. And I think I'm looking at a bunch of 10s. Praise God. Isn't this fun? And it's just right on. It's smack on. See, this isn't coincidental. This isn't by accident. This is the perfection of the Word of God. This should get you excited. Amen. Because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is what that life wants. Glorified together with Him. Let it happen. Let it be. Praise God. Ask the Lord for that desire. And notice here, besides them being kings, though, they're humble, too. Can you imagine that? Have you ever met a humble king? Oh, we know one, praise God. Matter of fact, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he's got a head that is bowed. And these are bowed heads. It speaks of humility. They acknowledge all by mercy and grace. See, that's the beautiful thing. We do bow our heads to him. Even though he's called me to rule and to reign jointly together with him. I know I got it all, but I know it's all by mercy and grace. There's a beautiful duo there, isn't there? Praise God. It's just marvelous. From the tents of Kedar to the curtains of Solomon. And that's our praise all the time, is it not? People always said, Brother Paul, he just said that wretched man once. I think, praise God, he rejoiced. Oh, wretched man that I am. There's a beauty in that. If you don't embrace how beautiful that is. But those are the ones that will only keep looking at mercy. Like the cherubim. Praise God. Now, once again, this is the first thing mentioned and noted so profoundly in the Holy of Holies, that Holy of Holy place. Think of that. The very first thing mentioned here after it's built. And here's two cherubim. What do you think it was thinking of? The set apart place. The place of worship, the place that was only going to be occupied by the high priest, the type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the bride. You think he'd been thinking for this for a while? I think it's been since ages past. Oh, amen. I mean, this is the romantic of the romantics. He is. This is his heart. And it's beautiful. But see, you'll find in 1 Kings that these cherubim, they're overlaid with gold, but they were built out of olive wood. And you think about the olive wood, how beautiful that is. You know, it speaks of the anointing. It speaks of, as they would crush the olive, the perfume that would come up, the sweet-smelling sacrifice, and yes, the crushing that goes forth. Amen. But we're so thankful that all of this comes forth. And you'll notice here as well, too, they have wings that are outstretched. Are your wings outstretched? Praise God. Sometimes them wings up here and wings down here. But these are just outstretched. And I love that. Mine are to embrace him. His embrace was to be nailed to a cross. Amen. There's a suffering in that too, you see. And in that suffering, that's when you soar. That's when love is proved. It's easy to be singing on a mountaintop. But do you sing in the valley of the shadow of death? It's the most glorious songs you'll ever sing there. Yeah. As a witness to my heart before I came out, brother was telling me, and the soaring and the freedom that was going on in the heart of a prison. They were more free than any of the guards, the wardens, or anything. Amen. This is what this is. This is in the fiery furnace, but yet it's a prayer meeting. Daniel in the lion's den. I'm going to feed some kitties. I'm trusting God. This is a marvelous time. But you see here, their wings stretched out 20 feet across. All right? 20 is redemption. What's your glorying? Is it the new man? That you're redeemed. See, that's the product of that redemption. There's no other glorying but Christ in me, the hope of glory. Him, grace. And then finally, those wings that touch one another, the divine fellowship of love supplying. And I thank God that that's what we have in here. See, it's not just wings that are detached and go watch me fly. There's a supplying that always goes on. And yet that supplying is always going to be connected to the Holy of Holies, his place. It's always going to come from the head. But it flows through the body, doesn't it? Praise God. The lifting up. These are the pillars, all by grace. And did you notice the 5-foot wing and the 5-foot wing and the 5-foot wing and the 5-foot wing? A lot of grace flying around there, isn't there? It's the only way. And that's all it is. But brothers and sisters, this is the clarity of who these vessels are. The Holy of Holies. Holy, saint. Exclusively for him. Exclusively. Not for anybody else. Shut up to the priest. Nobody else was to get back there. That was the high priest's place. That fellowship was, if you will, a table for two. Go on over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. How wonderful. And here it is. It says there, Let's go ahead and read from verse 20. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Oh my, right there we go, sanctified, set apart. Oh, and I love the word meet. That means just for him. Exclusive, praise God. And who is it for? For the master's use. And prepared. That word means beautifully adorned unto every good work. You know, people would look at my life and say, man, Jesse, your life wasn't a whole bunch of good works. Looking on that mercy seat, I can tell you without doubt, every single one of them was a wonderful good work. And I am beautifully adorned by every single one of them. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Don't take your eyes off that mercy. Or you'll find yourself not in that place anymore. And that's the truth. So, brothers and sisters, this is it. Holy, set apart only for the master's use. Only the priest representing our Lord and Savior could go into that set apart place and enjoy these ones for himself. As it says in the Word of God, the presence of God remained in the cherubims of glory. And next week, by the grace of God, I'll tell you what, we're going to even have more proof, if the Lord tarry, of that glory. How set apart these cherubims set apart in the Holy of Holies. How set apart us as saints are. Oh, yeah. You're going to thrill. Because not only are they set in the Holy of Holies, it says underneath their wings, praise God. That's the holy place, the place of glory. Do you know what Paul's gospel supplies us with? This. This in type and shadow. I mean, I know we see us as people. But I'll tell you what, let's get some eyes of understanding and start seeing some cherubim around here. Now I can say this in closing. No wonder the cherubim in Revelation 4:8. What do they continually say day and night? Holy, holy, holy. So how about this? We know that holy means I'm set apart only to you. There's one holy. How about the next holy? I'm exclusively and only for you. And then finally, how about the last holy? I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. You don't think that cry was going forth since ages past? That's the cry and that's the meaning of the saints. We are set apart. That's what his word and the word of his grace does. It sets us apart unto him. It draws us into that place. It causes us to have this worshipful place that he comes, the high priest comes, and he dwells. And oh, what love is enjoined. And the kisses and the panting. The excitement for the good pleasure of his will. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand. Lord, encourage our hearts in this. Amen.